I think I got it.
God is good.
Amen.
It is wonderful to be here with you again. Amen. Mm. And I was blessed. I take the attitude now that I'm just always blessed.
Amen.
If I make it the next day, if I open my eyes, I'm already blessed.
Right.
Amen. Everything after that is downhill. We deal with that as it goes. But if I make it to the next day, I'm okay.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And God is good to us, and He's continually good to us. Amen. And every time we look around, we see God doing more and more wonderful things.
Yes, we do.
Amen. It makes me often ask the question, what do people do who don't know the Lord?
Yes.
Because I have to just simply come to the conclusion that they must be really worn out. Trying to deal with all of the things that world has to give us, all the complexities of life, and you're trying to do that by yourself. It ain't gonna happen.
No, it's not.
Not gonna happen. You need the Lord in this life.
Yes.
You need the Lord. No matter who you are, what you are, amen, how great you are, how small you are, you need the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We need the Lord. Amen. And aren't you glad to have Him?
Yes.
So aren't you glad to have him? Doesn't it feel good to know that you know Him?
Yes, amen.
And more than that, He knows you. Amen. Amen. It's a better relationship when you know that He knows you.
Yes, amen.
It's always something, you know, when you can say, I know them, but do they know you? Do they know your name? Amen. So I'm glad. I'm glad to be here. Amen. Praying for my friend as always.
Thank you.
Man, I love it. I love it. I love it that they go to all those places and they enjoy all those cultures and all of those things. I don't think that's my calling. Number one, I just don't like bugs. Oh, my church laughs at me all the time because I have been caught in the middle of a sermon trying to swat a fly. I just don't like bugs. It's hard for me. Y'all pray for your boy. This morning, amen, I want to talk to you if I can. I always tell people everywhere I go, I have, amen, what I call my commission. Amen. And everywhere I go, no matter how many times I go, amen, I talk about it. And it's always a different word no matter how many times you hear it. But it is necessary that I give it because it is my commission.
Amen.
I think that everywhere you go, you ought to have at least one word that you can speak to everybody. Amen. So mine is always Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it simply says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's a wonderful thing to me because I always believe that every day we are demonstrating the altar, being on the altar of sacrifice. I think we get to demonstrate that every single day because, like we said earlier, for those who don't know the Lord, amen, they're twiddling around in a world where they have no clue, they have no leadership, they have nothing that's going to take them or settle them, nothing that's going to move their life or change their life for the good. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, we most of us in here, we do this for the good.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your life was like before, but can I talk to you about Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't no good.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He just wasn't any good.
Yeah.
The mind was wrong. The thoughts was wrong. The walk was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And can I tell you something? I grew up in church.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in church.
Mm-hmm.
And but when I got outside, I switched to those things that influenced me, all the influences that were around. That's why I encourage people everywhere I go and every time I see people. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, go to church. You know, and it's real easy for people not to go.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you miss two Sundays, you're hooked.
That's true.
If you miss two now, you know, it gets real easy for me to miss the third one. Because you are influenced by so many other outside influences. Let's face it, you come here, I don't know how many times you have service, but, you know, at our church we have Sunday morning, we have Wednesday service, Wednesday prayer and Bible study. And pretty much that's about it, aside from rehearsals and all the other things. But, you know, we have some functions where we bring people together. You know, we want to do game night, and we want to do men's gathering and men's social. We do the women's thing, you understand? But aside from those things, those are the only times that you get to be together as saints.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to encourage each other. You get to push a neighbor and a friend and say, come on, you know, there's something a little better. There's something more that you need to experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, we can do something else tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
We're not influenced by worldly influences tonight. Tonight we have something pertaining to the Lord that will encourage us and change us and make us a little bit better.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And but when you add all of those up, maybe you can get 6, maybe 7 hours of time together encouraging each other.
Mm.
When the rest of the time you're influenced by everything else you hear,
yeah,
everything else you see, everything that's going on around you.
Mm.
Touch your neighbor and say, you need the Lord.
Amen.
Hmm? Because with all those other influences that are crowding you so big, it's easy for us to get off track. And the only thing that holds us and brings us back is because we have a relationship with the Lord, and he knows how to tug on your heart and make you, I got to go.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I got to be there. I need to be there. I need to hear. I need to be in the middle. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anything dealing with it, it draws me right there. I love the music. I love all church music. Anything. I don't care what it is. If you're talking about Jesus, I love it. Some of it I don't even understand, but I love it. Especially when they get to talking real fast, man. The rap thing, I love it. I love hearing it. I think it's the most ingenious thing, because if you can say that many words, I can't get two out without a stutter. You know, but to hear it and to watch it and to watch their creativity, and I'm looking at it and said, that's God.
Mm.
God did that. The same as a person who writes a song, you know, and sings a song, you know, and put it to music. It's a beautiful thing, but God did that.
Yeah.
But in all of it, it's something that draws people and bring them closer to him.
Mm.
So everywhere it's going on, everywhere I hear it, You have my attention. I'm going one, and then all of a sudden, something caught my ear.
Mm.
I love it. I love to hear it. And I think that we need to be able all the time to put it in action and put it before people. And people need to see it in us.
Yeah.
I challenge you this today. That's what I came to talk to you about. I challenge you today to do something this Christmas season that you probably have, maybe you've done it once, but I'm going to challenge you to do it again. I want to challenge you today to make an enemy a friend. That's my challenge.
That's good.
That's what I came to talk to you about. See, because I talked to you about us being on the altar of sacrifice, you know. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices. So people see changes in you. They see things happening in you. But the change or the happenings don't really make a real difference unless it affects somebody else.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Because we are changing to touch people around us.
Right.
Because we are God's handiwork. We are God's spokesman. We are God's people. We are his vessels. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And he places us everywhere for people to see. Are you with me?
Mm.
One of the things I give a narrative. My wife collects a few things. One of the things she collects, she loves crystals. And she has these big crystal vases. And she takes them and set them on the dining room table. And then she decorates all around them, and she makes this thing look really, it's so pretty, and it catches your eye that even when little children come in there, they stand and they look at it and say, like, can't touch that. Like, it's like a warning just goes out, like, ding, 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 no, don't touch that. But she puts these things on the tables, you know, and they are so beautiful, and they're decorative, and they decorate our home real nice. And she does this, and she puts it there, and everyone comes in, and they hit, and this thing hits them, you know, because the light hits it just right. Mm. And when they see it, they're like, ooh, okay. Women talk about, where did you get that? Men talk about, I bet you don't never sit in that room. So she sets these things up, and she makes them, she sets them there and make them real pretty. And when she does all of this, she does this, you understand, and they illuminate the room, and they make things look real nice, and they do exactly what she has it there to do. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That is the same thing God is doing with each of us. He sets you in the middle of a room.
That's good.
Not all in this room. I mean, we all look good in here. This is great. But when we leave here, he'll take us and set us in the middle of a mess out there.
Yes, he will.
And it is your job to illuminate the room.
Amen. Mm. Amen. That's good.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
In some of those rooms, you have enemies. People who just don't like you because. Never mind the because, they just don't like you. And it could be because the illumination is so great. Got to be careful with that, you see, because if you're not careful of who you are in Christ, you become paranoid like everybody else.
Yeah.
And you start coming off with, like, why are they watching me? Why are they doing this? And what's going on? And you don't understand. You're drawing them all the time. They're watching you, and they're
That's
being
right.
drawn by you. But you got to remember who you are and who you belong to. You see, because your character is the thing that will win them over.
Yes, amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I've walked with a lot of people who I thought really didn't care for me. They didn't really like me, and maybe they didn't. But when they got in trouble, right, or something seriously happened in their lives, they will be walking out the door and they say, Kev, when you go to church today, say a prayer for me. Mm-hmm. And it catch me kind of like, looking at them, and that's when it hits me. They're affected by your walk.
Yes.
You have to illuminate the room. Mm-hmm. And when you illuminate the room, first you need to tell you God, you have to have a relationship with the Lord so you can talk to the Lord and get rid of the paranoia.
Right.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have the paranoia, then you start doing crazy things that make them look at you like you really crazy. You with me? There's a scripture I got here. There's a scripture. And he talks here real quickly. And he says, in Luke 6:39, Jesus gives a little illustration. He says here to, he says, can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? You with me?
Mm-hmm.
You see, because what happens is that we have these things and we got our own hang-ups and we're trying to clear somebody else's hang-up.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have our own situations going on and we have not understood that we got some stuff happening with us and you need to get that straightened out first.
Yeah.
Because you're there to illuminate.
Yes.
You're there to change. You're there, possibly, you're there to set somebody free.
Mm-hmm.
And you might need, you may be the only illumination they get to see this whole year. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because, listen, people get hurt everywhere. And people get hurt in everything. And I can't tell you how many hurt people come to me and say, my sister go to that church. My uncle goes to that church. My mom was a pastor. And they have all kind of stories. And they've been hurt by all kind of people. And now you have the opportunity to be the vase on the table.
Yeah.
You're the one now that has to show them a perfect picture of Christ.
Yes.
As perfect as you can be. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And it don't mean that you dot every T and you cross it. Did I say that right?
No.
You dot every I and cross every T. Don't mean that you get it right all the time. Just means that you need to have the right heart.
Yes. Amen.
So that when you start dealing with people, people can see that you are, that you can error and still come back and correct it. And don't mind correcting it. Sometimes the biggest thing, something as simple as, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize. I thought I had it right. And people look at you because those are words we just don't hear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks that they're right.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks that they're right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
I got a little grandson, and he crawling around on the floor, just learned how to walk. And I'm telling him, don't go over there. And he look at me like, I got this. Because he thinks he's right. He thinks he knows what he's doing. And I have the job of making sure he don't get hurt. Because when his mom come back, I don't want to explain to her what happened to him. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Man, when Jesus come back, you don't need to be explaining why you didn't win that person over there.
Right.
Why you didn't do what you was charged to do. And all that was just simply live right in front of them.
That's it. That's it.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You got to be willing to make a friend. You got to be willing to make a friend. No matter how hard or how difficult it is, don't make their difficulty your difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Your part is just to do what God has charged you to do.
Yes.
And that's simply live right. You ain't got to become a part of their world. You don't have to
That's
be
right.
a part of their, all of their hang-ups. You don't have to do all the things that you don't have to be in or be involved in, all the things that they are in part. Your part is just to show Christ in everything you do.
Mm.
In everything that you do.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
The Bible, let me do this and I'm going to get out your way. The Bible tells a story. King Ahab is at war with the Israelites. And he's mad with them. And he's trying to get them. You know, and them Israelites are some slippery people. You know, because they got God on their side. And when they walking right, God do some crazy things with them. You with me? But you know they prone to mess up. they prone to do it. They act a whole lot like us, don't they? You know, we good for like 2 days, but you got to have one day we just got to show off. One day? Come on, I've been good all week. Please give me Thursday. I'll get it right on Friday. We'll go into the weekend. It'll be all right. Everything be good. Come on. Y'all with me? But here's Israel. Israel is walking. This one of them times where they walking with the Lord. And they're doing all right. They're doing pretty good. And the Assyrians are after them, and they want to get them. They want to get them. And the king he's mobilizing his army, and he says, go wait for them over there.
Mm.
He says, we're going to catch them when they come around here. We're going to get them. But then Israel got this little prophet named Elisha. and you know, he's a protege from Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And Elisha. And every time the king gets something set up, the Lord talked to Elisha, and Elisha send word to the king like, you don't want to go over there. He waiting for you. And sure enough, king sent, they send out spies and see all the people over there. So, okay, we ain't going that way. We go a whole nother way. And so the Assyrians keep missing them. And they do this time and time and time. Excuse me. And they do this time and time and time again. And he's trying to figure out. He gets it together again and says, okay, we're going to do this again. And we're going to set up over here. But wouldn't you know, the Lord go talk to Elisha. And Elisha sends the word out to them, don't go over there. He's waiting for you over there. And this keeps happening. This keeps happening. After a while, King get upset. He get mad. He said, which one of you guys are traitors? Which one of y'all going back and telling these people who got the inside? Who is it? And one of his boys raised up and said, King, my lord the king, listen. Ain't none of us telling them anything. They got one, that little prophet dude over there. He's so good. He's so good. He even know what you say in your bedroom. He said, this boy right here bad. He the real deal. King gets mad at him and says, find out where he is. We gonna do a surprise attack on him. Word comes back and tells him, King, he's down there in Dothan. All right. We going to get together. We going to mobilize our army. When he wakes up in the morning, we going to have a surprise for him. They move out. They go down to Dothan. And they surround Elisha's house. And Elisha is in God's hands. And that's something. That's a wonderful thing when you know that you're in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
When you know that he's taking care of you. Because if he told the king, if he told Elisha all the times that you intended to ambush the king, to ambush the Israel, what make you think you're going to sneak up on him? What makes you think you're going to get away with that? That shows you how silly the enemy is. Mm-hmm. That if God is talking to you and he knows God is talking to you, what makes you think God ain't going to talk to you about this? So, Elisha sleeps through the night. He's comfortable. And he has a little servant there with him. And the servant wakes up that morning and he goes outside the door. And when he goes outside the door, he runs into horses and chariots and stuff. And he's looking at it and he backs back in the door. I say, oh, my master, what are we going to do now? Mm. What are we going to do with all this? He said, they everywhere. And Elisha's sitting there, taking his time, ain't in a rush, not excited. Ain't nothing when there's an urgency and you see people just slowing around like, all right, we'll get to it. It kind of get on your nerves a little bit. Because here you are, you jumping and you ready to go. I took my wife one time to the hospital. She suffers from time to time with gastritis. And so this night we go to the hospital and she's in all this pain, you know. And she's my wife. I'm connected to her. I know she's hurting. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And we're in there and it seems like when we get to the hospital, you know, the pain gets even worse. I don't know what it is about. Maybe it gets psychological because you know they got the good drugs in here and you just need them to come on and hurry up and bring the drugs. But because you're waiting on the drugs, your stress level goes up and the pain gets worse. You with me?
Yep.
And we went there this particular night and while we're in there, we're waiting on the doc to come. And here's this little girl and she walks in and she says, I need to ask you some questions. And I'm like, okay. So she comes in, she asks the questions. Then the same little girl come back, and she's a nurse, by the way. Mm. And she's coming back in, and she comes in, and she says, I need to take your vitals. And she ain't in no kind of rush. You know, she ain't moving fast. She ain't doing, I'm like, do you understand she in pain here? You know, okay, we gonna get to it. Doctor, be right in. You know, and I'm looking at her, and I want to choke her. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
You know how I'm feeling right about now, because she's going through it. And here's this little girl, and she walks in, and she's doing it. And I get so upset with her, and I'm like, is there anybody else we can talk to? She said, the doctor will be in a minute. And she's just taking her time, and she's just strolling. And I get so angry, and I'm like, Lord, how is it that she can see her here in all of this pain and not move and not do anything? And the Lord spoke right back to me real quick, and he said, because she's not connected. See, you're here, you're hubby, you love this woman, you'll give your right hand for her, you'll do whatever it takes for her, but this woman, she sees tragedy after tragedy all night long. After a while, they all look the same to her. And she's not moving any faster for you than she's moving for them people over there. Because she is totally disconnected. So sit yourself down. Calm your brains. They're coming. They're coming. Because, you know, when I'm praying, when I'm taking her to the hospital, I'm already praying. I got one of them urgent prayers going on. God, please let the right doctor be on staff. Let the right people touch, you know, be there to help her. Let the people come in. I'm praying, you know, and I'm talking so much, you know, like I'm almost in tongues now. And we get there, and finally the doc walks in. And he looks at the child and says, You, Miss Flowers, you going through this again, huh? Yeah, okay. And they talk a little bit, and after a while he sends. Same little nonchalant little girl comes in. All right, the doctor ordered medicine for you. You know, and I can't, and I have to remember, you can't get angry with her because, you know, she the one bringing the stuff. And she comes in, and she puts the medicine in, and then she walks out the room, and she says, you want me to shut off the light? And I said, okay, turn the light down. And Sharon goes to sleep. And I'm in here saying, Lord, thank you. And I said, Lord, thank you. And I'm learning a lesson right here, that you can't be connected to everything that's going on. Because you won't think rationally.
That's
you
true.
Won't be on top of what you're supposed to be on, because here you done lost all perspective
yes.
of what's going on, because you're emotional and your emotions have run crazy with you because you are emotionally connected.
That's good.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Back to my story. I let y'all go. Elijah is here, and the boy backs in and says, Master, what we gonna do with this? And the Lord, and Elisha says something crazy to him. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. The boy is in a panic. He sees horses, he sees chariots, guys standing out there with big spears and all kind of stuff. And Elijah's sitting here in the shack talking about, don't worry about it. He said, well, what we gonna do? He said, listen, they that are for us are more than they that's against us.
Mm-hmm.
The boy don't know. He's flipping. He's losing his natural mind. What are we gonna do? They gonna come in here in a minute. They gonna take us. They probably kill us. What are we gonna do? Elisha turns and says, Lord, open his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says, open his eyes, the boy steps back outside and he looks. And God opens the eyes of his faith and the eyes of his mind.
Yes, amen.
See, because sometimes those two things are closed with us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe what we see until what we see is too big to believe.
Oh, come on.
You with me?
That's good.
And then when it becomes too big for us to believe, faith shuts down.
Yep.
Eyes are really closed.
Yeah.
And you don't realize what's going on around you anymore.
Yeah.
You lost your visibility. But Elijah says, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the boy walks back out and he looks. And now he totally missed the army that's in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
But all around the hilltops, there's horses and chariots of fire, man. They're standing all around like they breathing down. The rocks look like they ready to move. Everything is standing there like at attention, like, all we need is a word.
Mm-hmm.
We'll cover up everything.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kill everything. All we need is a word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know God is watching you everywhere?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go, the enemy is watching you. That no. The Bible teaches and says there's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper.
Amen.
Not one word, even every word that's spoken and idle, it shall be condemned.
Yes.
Nothing out there is out there that can hurt you.
Amen.
Because God is watching you all the time.
Yes.
And he takes good care of us.
Yes,
and he's
he
watching
does.
You so
yes,
closely. And when he's looking out and when he's watching over you, the enemy thinks that he's about to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of all of this, when the boy sees this, he says, sure enough, he said, Man, they all out there. They all on the place. He said, they, man, oh my God. I ain't never seen nothing like this before. It's amazing what you'll miss when you're scared.
Yes, indeed.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
It's amazing what you will miss when you're scared. But here, he sees now his eyes are open. He sees the protection of God all around him. And it, still, well, what are we going to do? Elijah finished. This is me dreaming now. Yes, Elijah finishes with his coffee. After finish having coffee, Elijah gets up and says, okay, let's go. Then he walks outside. And then Elijah does something else crazy to them. He says, Lord, blind all of them. Blind them? And sure enough, God drops a curtain on them, boom, and the whole army is blind. But not blind as you suppose, you see, because he comes back out. He comes out and he says to them, you came the wrong way. You came to the wrong city. He said, follow me. I'm going to take you where you need to be. I'm going to take you where you want to go. He has moved on them. God has moved on them. And though they are in the middle of a situation, he has come there and caused a separation of consciousness that they don't even understand or understand or can recognize where they are or what they're doing. It's kind of like when we used to get drunk. I say used to. It's kind of like when we used to get drunk. You know, when we would get drunk to the point that you lost it. You don't know what's going on. You needed your friend to bring you home. Somebody guided you. Somebody got you there. You don't know how you got home that night, but you got there. You with me? Don't know what happened, what was taking place. All you know is you woke up and you was in your house. You with me? But here they are now, and God has dropped this thing on them, and they don't even know what's going on. And Elijah say, follow me. I'm going to take you where you want to go. I'm going to take you to the man you want to see. And remember, they were surrounding the house coming to get Elijah. Elijah gets on his horse, and he walks down there, and when they look, and he leads them into Samaria. And leads them all the way into Samaria. And when they get to Samaria, right, Elijah turns around and said, now, Lord, open their eyes. The people who you want to kill, the people that you want to deal with, here they all now are surrounding you and can take you completely out. The king is looking over the banister and saying, hey, should I kill him? Should I kill them all right now? Should I kill them? And Elijah looks up and says, no. We don't hurt prisoners. He says, in fact, give them something to eat. Something to eat. They want to kill us. Elijah said, fix them something to eat. Give them something to drink. And then we're going to send them back home. King turned around, orders it. They make a big feast. Beautiful cookout. Everybody eating all that they can eat. Drinking all that they can drink. At the end of the night, they pack a bag and go home. And he dismisses them and sends them back to their king. Bible says after that, they attack Israel no more. Because where you had an enemy, through kindness, through love, and through God's direction,
yes,
you won a friend.
Amen.
I'm challenging you this Christmas season hear the voice of God.
Amen.
And through your love, through kindness, and through direction, go out and win a friend. Because God knows we don't need any more enemies.
Yes.
If we all could just come together and love each other. Love each other enough that we can respect each other. And make the world just a little better where we live.
Yeah.
And if we do it where we live, then everyone win one. And after a while, let it stretch across America. And then we'll start stretching across borders. But we got to win them here first.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you
Amen.
For having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. A good word. Thank you so much. We're so blessed to have you here with
God
us.
God bless you.
Always. Awesome. I just want to remind you that we will be here same time next Sunday morning. So come and I'm not going to share secrets, but it's going to be a good service. It's a little different from what we usually do, but I'm excited for you to participate in that. So come and have a wonderful week this week and be blessed and encouraged and go with God.
Amen.